you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
You can go ahead and open your Bibles again over to Mark chapter 11. We will get there in just a couple of minutes. We've been in this series for some time now, talking about how to grow in faith and let our faith in God actually direct our choices and our steps, or we've been calling it take the wheel. Let our faith actually direct our lives. And last week, we dug into Mark chapter 11. There are the verses 22 through 25 are very common, and we're going to look at them today to talk about when we're talking about faith and faith in God. It was one of the greatest little teachings in just a few verses. Jesus gave us a tremendous amount of practical information about how to live by faith in Him, walk by faith in Him. And so those verses are real common, but we started last week and we took the time to go through the rest of the chapter because that chapter is a setting. Everything that happens in that chapter is a setting for what Jesus taught in verses 22 through 25. And so we began at the very beginning of the chapter, and I just want to remind you of a couple of things. We talked about the fact this whole chapter happened at the beginning of the week that we call, it is Holy Week, we call it, you know, it's Easter week, it was Passover week. The chapter begins with Jesus coming into Jerusalem from Bethany on what we now call Palm Sunday, and everybody came out and crowds were throwing palm branches and throwing their own coats and cloaks and garments in the street for this coming king. And that was a very common deal for communities to do when they were recognizing a new king coming into town. So that's what it was. And so they were worshiping him as king and accepting him as king. His followers were. And so this whole chapter, he gave this demonstration as they came into town. And it happened around a fig tree. And this fig tree is a picture for us of a number of things. And we're not going to go back through all of that. But Jesus stopped along the way. Let's just read the verse. This is verse 12. Okay. I can't stand not reading the scripture. It says, on the next day, when they had left Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he would find anything on it, but he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, he spoke to the tree, he said to it, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening to what he said, or other translations say his disciples heard what he said. So he walked up to this fig tree and he spoke out loud to this fig tree. Okay. And I told you last week that that has always just been a weird story to me, because it tells us in the first place that they knew it wasn't the right season for figs, and yet Jesus went and looked for figs on this fig tree. And I explained last week that the reason for that is because fig trees put out their fruit at the same time as they put out their leaves, or even before they put out their leaves. So if you see a fig tree in full leaf, it is shouting out to the world, I have fruit. And what Jesus taught us in Mark 11, 22 through 25 goes right along with, this was the demonstration of what he teaches us later. There was this object, this fig tree, that was essentially shouting out, putting out a message to people that would go by, saying, come here and eat. Come here, I have fruit. I have nutrition. I have something good for you. But when you get there, there was no fruit on the inside of it. There was no fruit on, I don't know why there was no fruit on this fig tree, but there was no fruit on this fig tree. But that's why he went. So it was out of season even, but it was standing there full in leaf, looking like it would have fruit. So there's so much background, and we can't go through it again, but we go on through this story. And during that week, this whole thing is a prophetic picture, a prophetic declaration of what was about to happen in the dead religious system that was going on in Judaism, as Jesus was going to go to the cross. That Thursday he was going to go to the cross. I know a lot of people think it's Friday. We'll talk about that at Easter, okay? But he was going to go to the cross, and he was declaring over that system. And remember, that religious system that was in Jerusalem at the time, God established that system as something that was good and was healthy, and it was the best that the covenant before Messiah came could be. There was a system for sacrifice to cover sin. There was a system of worship. There was a social system that set Israel apart as a nation. There was a set of moral standards presented. It was established by God as something healthy and living, but over time, people corrupted it and turned it into something dead. And I just will say it again today, that same thing can happen with us. God starts something in our life, and oftentimes, and we have seen this throughout history over and over again, many of the denominations that we have today, and this is just history, okay? I'm just telling you history. Many of the denominations we have today that just completely deny the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they started with a huge move of God with the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing within them. But over time, man started to turn it into traditions, into formality, into ritual, and separated it from the power of God. And that's why Paul talks to us about in the last days, there are going to be a lot of people that adhere to a form, an outward shape of religion, but deny the power of God, okay? And so Jesus comes along, and he does a couple of things. For one thing, he speaks to this tree, and then he uses that later to give us a lesson on how to use faith in God. But along the way, he makes these prophetic declarations about what's about to happen in Jerusalem. We went through that last week. We looked at the verses that he pulled out of Isaiah, the verses he pulled out of Jeremiah, and what those meant and what he did with those. And I'd really encourage you, it gives so much more depth to this chapter if you would just go back and listen to that podcast or watch it on YouTube, get that teaching and add it to what you're going to hear today. Okay? So, let me just go here instead, because otherwise I'm just going to take an awful lot of time reviewing. So here's this fig tree. It is an object, it is a thing that is putting out a message of life, but doesn't have any life. Okay? We are all going to encounter fig trees in our lives. We are all going to encounter religious ideas, religious systems, and also worldly things that will tell us there's life here. Just come to me, do these rituals, or live this way. This is what's really interesting. In living with Jesus, in living in Christianity, and living in a relationship with Christ, there is a standard of life, a moral standard, a behavioral standard, all of those types of things that is clearly portrayed in the scripture that is pleasing to God. And there are other lifestyles, there are other behaviors, there are other ways that we can choose to live that are not pleasing to God. That's absolutely true. Where that and so in following Jesus, those lifestyles, behaviors, thought processes, heart attitudes, choices that we make every day, choices that we make about our relationship with Him and how we live and how we treat other people, all of that kind of stuff, They are defined in the scripture, but it's very clear that Jesus intends for those to be fruit, as Boy just talked to us about, fruit of the life of God working within us through our relationship with Christ and our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our relationship with His Word. Those things develop in us. He changes us from the inside out, and we look more and more like Him. This is how it's supposed to work. We are transformed. We are changed. We don't think the same way. We don't respond the same way. We don't choose the same things. We don't desire the same things. We don't have the same appetites that we had years ago. He transforms us. He changes us from one degree of glory to another. That new creation that started in you when you gave your life to Jesus just permeates your soul, your mind. That's what following Jesus is about. That's not religion. That's life. That is a fruitful life. At the same time, religion presents a moral standard, a set of do's and don'ts, a set of behaviors that are acceptable and not acceptable. The difference is that in religion, religion tells you if you do these things and do enough of them and don't do these things and don't do those things over and over, then that's what makes you acceptable with God. So it begins with the works. It begins with the outside. It is a system that says, hey, look here, here's this great, we're great moral people. We have this system, this ritual, this series of things that we do and we perform, and those are what make us acceptable to God. Jesus says what makes us acceptable to God is putting faith in Jesus, period. Then He changes our life to become more pleasing to God. Okay? So in a lot of, that can be really subtle, and we can get caught up in those things, but what I am trying to say is we will face fig trees. We will face things that present themselves to us as being, this is where the life is. This is where, and sometimes it'll be a religious thing. Sometimes it'll be a religious system that we can get caught up in. There are religious systems in the world. There are religious systems in Christianity. We just have to be discerning and listen to the witness of the Holy Spirit and keep that relationship with Jesus first place in our life. His Word, first place, final authority. There will also be worldly ideas, worldly thoughts that will present themselves that way and say, you know, you're in this situation. This is a tough situation. God's Word says to handle it this way. But I'm telling you, if you'll just do this, it'll be a lot quicker road to what you're looking for. It'll be a lot quicker road to solving your financial problem. It'll be a lot quicker road to fixing your relational problem. It'll be a lot quicker road to getting rid of depression or loneliness or something. Okay? So the world will present ideas to us. The religious church will present ideas to us. And what we find in this story is that if religion will answer most of those troubles that we run into and most of those things, it'll so often, this just boggles my mind, religion will point a finger at God and say, well, God did this to you. God brought this disaster into your life. God brought this sickness into your life. God took your child. God took your brother. God took your wife. God took whatever. It will point the finger at God and say, hey, you are just fine. You're doing all the right things, right? But this disaster happened. So that just must be God's will for your life, when it's clear in Scripture that God doesn't bring harm into our life. Jesus never made anybody sick. He never broke up their marriages. He never did any of those things. And if we don't see it in Jesus, then it's not the nature of God. Because the Scripture tells us that when we look at Him, we see an exact representation of the Father. Okay? So religion will say, God must have done it, or you've done too many things, so God is punishing you or something. Okay? Faith in Christ responds with the word of God. To either one of those situations, when the religious culture tells us that God's to blame, we say, no, my God is a good God. We stay in faith. We stand on the word of God. Does this make sense to you? When the world says this is a better solution, we stand firm on the word of God. We say, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going to stand firm on the word of God. Faith answers. And this is one thing I didn't mention. You heard it last week, where it says that Jesus spoke to the tree. The literal text there says he answered the tree. He answered the message a tree was putting out. We give answers to questions, and we give answers to statements. We give an answer is a response, right? So Jesus responded to the false message of this tree with, he rebuked that tree. He said, you will not only is there no fruit in you, you will never produce fruit again. He called that thing down, and it dried up from the roots and died. Is this making sense to you? That's got to be our place and our response in all of this. And that's what Jesus is going to teach us in these verses. He's going to teach us how to speak to our fig trees in faith. How faith works. All right, so let's go over to, are you still with me? Mark 11. Let's start here. We'll just read this whole passage, and then we're just going to look at a few parts of it today. We are not going to completely finish this passage today. So Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to begin in verse 22, Mark 11, 22. Jesus speaking. So what happened here? So they come back, right? And the disciples see that tree that was alive yesterday is dead. And they say it's dried up from the roots. I mean, it is dead. And it's the tree that Jesus said, nobody will ever eat fruit from you again. And so they come and and Peter, of course, the spokesman, says, Jesus, what happened here? The tree, and Peter says, the tree that you cursed, we know that Jesus answered, and that answer took the life out of that tree. But Peter says, the tree that you cursed is dead. It's dried up from the roots. And so Jesus uses that to teach the disciples about faith and about how faith works. So Jesus says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So we're just going to pick this apart a bit. I'm going to go back to verse 22. The first thing Jesus says is have faith in God, right? And that seems like a really simple statement to us. But I'm going to break this down and show you what's in this verse. So that word have is in that, in the Greek, there are several more verb tenses. We have past, present, future. That's what we have, okay? In the Greek, there are several more. And this one is used a lot in the Bible, and it's called the present continuous tense. So when it says have, what he's really saying is, be having all the time. Be having continually faith in God. So it's not just have faith in God. It is be continuously in a place of faith in God. That word literally means to hold something in continuous possession. Okay? So it's something I have right now, but I'm going to have it all the time. All right? I have it right now. I have faith in God right now, but it is a faith that I will have all the time. So that's what Jesus instructs us to have, that kind of faith. And then that phrase, faith in God, and many of your translations bring this out, it can be translated God's own faith or the faith of God. So we think about my faith in God, it's easy to think about it as being something just in me. I have to develop trust in God. It's in me. It's just, it's mine. But what Jesus is saying, he's instructing us to continually have the faith of God, the same kind of faith that God has. He's instructing us to always have God's own faith. That's a really different picture than thinking of our faith as just something that is in me, expressed toward God, but it's kind of separated somehow. No, he's saying, let God's own faith be in you. Now, I don't know how many of us ever think about God having faith. But if you think, so he's really talking about here is a quality of faith, not a quantity of faith. He's talking about a quality of faith. And if we just think about that for a minute, how much does God trust his ability and his willingness to bring about what he says? How much does God trust that? Does God wonder if he's going to do what he said? Does God wonder if he's able? You know, no, of course not. And then we have to remember that the Word of God, we're going to look at a little bit of this today, the Word of God is a container of something from God. When God speaks, he releases something with his word. We'll look at that here in just a second. I mean, we know this. We've looked at this a lot, but I want you to understand this. So when God says something to you, or when God makes a promise, and we take hold of that promise is for physical healing. Well, it contains the ability to bring healing to pass in your body. We know that from Luke chapter 1, verse 37. We'll probably look at it later again. I know we look at it frequently, but that's because it's so foundational. So we know that if it's about healing, if it's about restoring your hope, if it's about whatever it is, there's power and life in the Word of God as we receive it into our heart to actually release whatever it is it's carrying, whatever it is he's promising. But the thing we don't often think about is that word might contain that element, but it is spoken in faith from God. It also brings the ability to believe what God is saying. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Does it? We can stay. God's word contains the ability to bring itself to pass, and it contains, we're going to see this real clearly in just a minute, it contains the ability, it contains faith. God speaks his word in faith. So when that seed of God's word is planted in our heart, one of the things it releases is faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us really, really clearly. So Jesus wouldn't tell his disciples, be continually having in your possession the same kind of faith, the same quality of faith that God has in himself. He wouldn't tell them that, and then if it wasn't available. Because there's no way we can do that. We can't drum up emotionally the same faith that God has in himself when he speaks. It's not possible. And yet Jesus clearly says, be continually having the same kind of faith, quality of faith. Be continually having God's own faith alive in your heart. The only, when Jesus says something like that, or God says something like that, he does not do it as a challenge to our ability to make it happen. He doesn't speak something like that and then stand back and say, okay, kid, let's see you work up that faith. He doesn't do that. He releases, he gives, he gives us something that we can receive, and it comes through his word. So let's go over to Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10 with me if you have your Bible there with you. We are going to have it on the screen, Romans 10, 17. This little verse, and this is another one we look at a lot, but I want us to let it soak in today. It simply says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So Jesus says, be continually having the faith of God. How do I do that? I do that by continually hearing what God is saying, what God is speaking to me, by continually receiving the word that carries the faith. Okay? Boy, you guys are quiet. You okay?
Yes.
Okay. So let's tear this one apart. So then faith comes by hearing. Okay, that word comes, faith comes by hearing. Okay, it's a little Greek word, ek. It's fun to say. Go ahead and say it, ek. Yeah, that's kind of fun. It's like a cat, ek. No, it's ek, all right, ek. The primary meaning of that word is out from or out of. So it's something that used to be inside another object, but now it has come out of that object. That's what this word means. Faith used to be inside the Word of God, but now as we hear it, that faith comes out. It's released into our hearts. Faith comes. Faith comes out of the Word. Faith comes with the Word. Faith is released out from or out of the Word. Okay, so it says faith comes. How does it come? How does it come? It comes by hearing. And that, again, that word hearing is in that present continual tense. So Jesus says, be continually having the faith of God. This verse says that faith comes by continually hearing the word of God. Continually hearing. It's a lifestyle of actively, continually listening to God, listening for what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you from the Word of God, what He's highlighting from the Word of God. We're spending time during our days. We are when the Lord brings and highlights a scripture to us, we don't just go past that. We write it down. We put it in our phones. We do something, and we take it out again and again, and we meditate on it. We chew on it. We ask God about it. We say, you know, we want that Word to expand, to germinate, to produce in our life. We value, we treasure the Word of God. We listen with this intensity. We listen for what the Holy Spirit would say, and we are receptive. And when He says something that contradicts a thought that we have, we immediately choose what God is saying. Our emotions don't change right away. Our thoughts, habits don't even change right away. But when we hear something and the Lord says something, but that's different than my lifestyle, that's different than the way I was raised, that's different than the way I habitually have responded, we immediately say yes to God and no to the rest of that. And then that word can begin to work in our life and produce itself in our life. Okay? The word of God will produce itself on the inside of you. So this is interesting, at least to me. So then faith comes by hearing. That word by, that little word by is really interesting. It means the instrument or immediate cause of something. So faith comes out of, and the cause, the reason faith is released in our heart is because we're hearing, because we're continually hearing what God is saying. Does this make sense to you? Okay. So I mean, this is defined so clearly, and that little word by in the Greek, it's the thing that stands between an act of the will and the effect of the act of your will. Are you lost? Is this making sense? So we're talking about hearing the word, right? When I choose to hear the word with an open heart, and the word comes, and it's carrying faith, and it's carrying whatever else it's carrying on the inside, I choose. I make a choice. I can choose to ignore that word. I can choose to not value that word, or I can choose to treasure that word in my heart, to allow that word to be planted. And this little word by stands between that act of my will. God, I want to hear what you are saying, and I need you to instill faith in me toward what you are saying. When I make that choice of my will, that little word by, it stands there between that and the effect of that choice of my will. One thing I always emphasize to you guys, you always have a choice. You always have a choice. God is sovereign. Yes, he could run us around like robots, okay? But he doesn't. He gives us opportunity. He calls us. He ministers to us. He presents himself to us. He gives us every kind of opportunity, but he doesn't force us. And that's true even when it comes to just listening and choosing to listen to what he says to us. So this scripture tells us that, and the word translated word here is that Greek word rhema. So it means, that word rhema means a spoken word, a conversational word. It is not just the word that we read on the pages of our Bible, it's what God says from that word. It is how God impresses that on our hearts. So it's saying faith comes out of and through our choice to live a lifestyle of listening for what God is saying. And even as we are reading our Bibles, we're listening for what God is saying. As we're worshiping the Lord, we're listening for what God is saying. As we're driving down the street, we're listening for what God is saying. As we encounter different situations, we're listening for what God is saying. As fig trees stand up in front of us and say, hey, all the life is over here, we're listening for what God is saying. Okay, we're listening for, in every situation we have in our life, we can listen for what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, wants us to say in that situation. I think most of you, like me, what I want, I'm not saying I'm always there, but what I want is to be doing what I want to say what he is saying and do what he is doing. Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. And I only do what I see the Father doing. Well, I believe we can hear what God is saying and speak it into life and speak it into the world. I believe we can see how God would respond to this situation. But that takes some discipline in our lives. It isn't an automatic. We really have to make some good priorities for one thing. But one thing we find from this verse, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can't exercise, I don't believe, this is my opinion, okay? You can't exercise faith, the God kind of faith, until you've heard God speak. Because that kind of faith comes to your heart as God speaks. We've just developed that, okay? So we can go out there and know what God is saying or see something in his word, and we can want to exercise immediate, strong, powerful faith in that. And sometimes it happens that quick. And there's even by the Holy Spirit, there's a gift of faith that comes for a specific situation, a specific time, where all of a sudden the faith of God just rises up in you and it's a gift from him and you're able to function in that gift right then. But this everyday faith, this normal, everyday, growing, living faith, you can't go out and successfully exercise faith that from something you've never heard what the Holy Spirit is saying about. What I mean by that is we've got to spend time with him. We've got to spend time with him. And that for most of us means a juggling of priorities or a continual maintenance of priorities. Because all of life today is a fig tree. Shouting at you to stay busier, shouting at you to listen more, shouting at you to get caught up in societal garbage, caught up in political garbage, get your brain anywhere but quiet enough to hear what God is saying. And there's a reason the devil wants to do that. It's because you are a threat when you are hearing what God is saying and you are out there in your everyday life and you are addressing situations from the faith in your heart. You are a threat to what the devil wants to do in the earth. Does this make sense to you? Okay. So the Lord spoke this to me, and I'm just going to share it with you. So faith is contained in God's words. What God has spoken to you in the past, what God is speaking to you, part of what it's there to do is to build this faith of God in your heart. As I was thinking about this the other day and praying over this particular verse, I felt like the Lord was saying that for some of you, he showed me this picture of your front porch loaded with packages. And there's something, so those packages represent things he has spoken. And those packages contain both the blessing and the faith to receive the blessing, or like that. Those packages are words that God has spoken, but you haven't opened them. And the front door of that house is just closed. And I felt like the Lord was saying, sometimes it's just distractions in your life, so you just haven't opened the packages that God has sent. For some of you, there's a religious tradition in your heart that when you hear the word of God that contradicts something you grew up with, you have so far said, no, that's a little scary to me. That's a little, you know, maybe it's about the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's about healing. Maybe it's about this. Maybe it's about that. But you've just kind of kept it out there on the front porch. You have not opened those packages. You haven't received those words into your heart. For some of you, it's a desire for other things. And by the way, if this isn't you, then that's great. This may be for people who hear this later. I don't know. I just know the Lord gave me this word, and I'm just putting it out there today. For some of you, it's a desire for other things. I don't want to be, if I open that package, I'm going to be responsible for what's in that package. And that's true, but what's in that package is going to be a far greater blessing than whatever it is that you're desiring out here. So I felt like the Lord was just wanting me to encourage you. When you hear God speak, when you know, when you're reading your Bible and a scripture just stands out to you, or you're hearing a message and there's a part of it stands out to you, value, treasure, open your heart. Let that come in. Let that begin to change you. Let that begin to transform your life, okay? And from that, you're also going to be a huge blessing to other people, okay? Does that make sense to you? All right, we're about out of time here. So let me just give you two more things. So Jesus says, if anyone says to this mountain, that word mountain there, it just represents something that's in your path. And it might be an inward thing. It's trying to hold you back. Might be an outward thing. But it's something that presents itself as immovable and insurmountable. That's a lot of times, that's the image of a mountain in the scripture. So it's an insurmountable, that's what I'm looking for, object that's in your life. And Jesus is saying what we need to do as we're receiving all this faith in our heart, we need to begin to say, we're going to let that faith, we're going to talk about this a different day, we're going to let that faith come out in our words, we're going to let that faith come out in our thought life, in our behaviors, in our attitudes, but it is going to come out our mouths. Jesus spoke to that fig tree out loud, and his disciples heard him. You know, those little phrases that come at the end, you know, it's all about, oh, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and that's often, that's awesome. And his disciples heard him. Why did the Holy Spirit put that in there? Who cares that his disciples heard him? Well, the reason he put that in there is because he's talking about speaking out loud, and he wants us to know he's talking about speaking out loud. Okay? So Jesus says, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done. All right, so when we are confronted, and I'm just going to give you this little list, and then we're going to end it right here, okay? When we're confronted with insurmountable problems or regular-sized problems, all right, what Jesus is telling us to do is begin to address those from the faith that he has given us from his word. We begin to address those with the promises of God. So, how do I do that? When stuff comes up in my life, the first thing is, I've got to remember, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, there is nothing impossible with God. This thing is telling me it's insurmountable. God says it's not. So I've got to make a decision right there, and I need to say, okay, Lord, what do I know? What is your promise? What do I not know? But I know there's a promise for it. So show me your promise concerning this particular situation. And then I've got to go to that promise in the scripture, and I've got to begin to read it and revolve it in my mind, think about it, pray it, ask the Lord for revelation on it. I've got to nurture it in my heart so that it begins to produce a faith that will speak that promise to that insurmountable situation. Does this make sense to you? So I've got to do something when those, and again, insurmountable, well, that's great, but not every problem we need to speak to is insurmountable, okay? So I've got to get that truth of whatever that promise is, I've got to get that deep in my heart. I've got to know that God has a promise that applies to this area of my life. So I've got to prioritize positioning myself to hear what God is saying. I've got to prioritize my life around my relationship with Jesus. So that means my relationship with Jesus, my being in a place to hear him, it's more important. This is hard for people. It's more important than my work. It's more important than my wife. And this is the only thing that's more important than my wife. It's more important than my kids. It is. You're not going to be able to take good care of your marriage and your kids unless you get this one right. It's more important than sports. It's more important than seeing pretty leaves. It's more important than fishing. It's more important than golf. I'm sorry. Just is. It's more important than any of those things, and that has to be my life. It has to be more important than the other things. So that means juggling, figuring it out. How do I juggle my time? How do I make this work? Okay, and it's going to mean picking some things up and leaving some things behind. It means that for all of us. You can't do everything. There's so many good things to do. There's so many fun things to do. There's so many things. And it's going to mean I'm going to make countless little tiny decisions during my day that add up to choosing life in my life. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose what God is saying above other things. Okay? So we're going to have to learn, and I'm just going to give these to you. I just have this little list. You have to learn how to keep a tender, open heart toward God. And that's going to mean quick obedience to the slightest nudge from the Holy Spirit. Just practice it. And I just ask for that. Lord, just nudge me. I want to learn to obey you better. Just nudge me. I'm going to do it. Just nudge me. I'm going to do it. Okay? No, I don't. This is so you can write it down. Second one is forgive people. And that's what Jesus says at the end of this passage. Every time Jesus talks about prayer, he says, when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. Why? Because we're always offended. We're always have the potential to be offended. We're not always offended. If you are always offended, this is a good one. This is an important one for you, okay? But to have a powerful faith life, you're going to have a powerful forgiveness life. You're going to have to learn how to drop it and let it go, okay? Going to have to. Otherwise, it plugs up your heart, and you're just not going to be hearing from the Lord. You're going to have to learn, this is another one, let faith direct your thoughts and your emotions. Let faith direct, supersede, change your thoughts and your emotions. A lot of people today do not know that they can control their thoughts. They just think thoughts come and I have to think them. No, you don't. You can think God's thoughts. Okay. My emotions, well, this is the way I am. Well, it's not the way you have to stay. Okay. Maybe you have been this way. Maybe you just move on emotion. Well, that can change. And your life would be a lot happier if it did. Doesn't mean you have to be emotionless. Just means what God is saying and doing and his place in your life is more important to you than, you know, living a reactive life. It's just part of prioritizing these things. Here's a tough one, okay? You got to start valuing victory in God or valuing overcoming more than you value the sympathy that you get from people. This is a tough one for people. More than you value the applause from people, more than you value the attention you get from people. And what I mean by that, you got a mountain in your life, maybe it's sickness. I've known a number of people who are caught, I'm not being critical, they're caught in this place where they value the attention and the sympathy that they get from people because of that sickness more than getting healed. And they don't get healed. And it's very sad. But they're caught in that need for that sympathy. They're caught, and you can pray for them till you rub all the hair off their head. And I believe God will even minister to them when we pray, but they just draw that thing back. They just draw it back because they want the sympathy. You got to stop that. You've got to break that in your life. We can pray for you to break that in your life. Never build your identity in the mountain. In the problem. This is who I am. This addiction, it's just that's who I am. No, it's not. Not if you've given your life to Jesus. That is not who you are. That is not who you are. It's something that's going on in your life. It's very real. It needs to be broken. It is not who you are. And if you establish your identity in that thing, it's got you. We can't, well, it's just the way my family always was. Well, be new, okay? Be the first one, all right? And then we're going to come back to this, but, you know, let your faith grow to where it takes control of your tongue. You know, I've had so many of these situations where somebody comes, they want prayer, I love to pray for them, we pray God's word, and immediately they walk out there and start talking that they'll never get free from this problem again. All that does is show that there's no faith in their heart working toward that issue, okay? I hope this made sense to you today. I feel like it was a little jumbled. But we need to build these things as priorities into our life if we want to live, if we want to have a faith in our heart. We're never going to be perfect, okay? Forget that. But we want to have a faith in our heart that takes the wheel of our life and that we can go out there, which is our assignment. We can pray for the sick and see them healed. We can bring deliverance to people. We can just bring the gospel to people, see them come to Christ and their whole life change. We want to live that life. We want to be those people. And I believe you are those people. I do. I'm not just saying this to you. I don't do that. I believe you are an anointed people. I believe you are the people of God and that every one of you has a ministry in your sphere of influence. All of us are growing in that. Every one of us. But it's true of you. And I just want to see you make the priorities in your life to where, man, this is my purpose on the earth, is to fulfill God's purpose for me. Let's stand up. We'll just stand up and pray this morning. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, Father, as always, I just trust you to bring home, to impart into our hearts the parts of this message and things beyond, things that are just inspired by what has been heard today, Lord, things that you speak during this time. I trust you, Holy Spirit, to impart those things and impress them upon the hearts of your people. And Lord, I do believe that as we go out of this place, as always, Lord, we have a ministry out there. We are your ministers. We are your people. And Father, we are lights in dark places. And I just pray over this congregation, Lord, that the words that you are speaking into their lives take root and grow and transform hearts. And that every one of us, Father, when we go out there, Lord, we go out there full of trust in you, belief in your word, and readiness to do, readiness to minister, readiness to share with others. And I thank you for that today, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for the day in which we live. As hard as it is, as much junk that's going on, that's awesome. That is the place for your people. That is the place for us to bring healing and restoration and strength and deliverance and peace. And so, Lord, we accept that, Lord. We accept that's our assignment. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to let you go. If you need prayer for anything, if you need to know Jesus, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you need healing, if you need whatever, please come up and let us pray for you today. Okay? You ready to go? Let's say this on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. We'll be dismissed. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.